Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This the boy,
Master
P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous
group. What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy,
C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller,
motherfuckers.
It's your boy, DJ
Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Bomb.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Randy Brand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
What's up now, motherfucker?
This is the show that shows no limits. Broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews. Every artist still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing that each of the rappers are coming to get them put on. We need the platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with wizard.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics, and shadow the ball. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Plenty of content to you to do. Do everything free to download the stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real reaction.
We got
control,
we brought our peace, we represent. All them killers on the mic, and we should love to all you fans. Motherfuckers wanna hate, do your thing, we keep the focus. Bringing nothing but the real.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's usually just some light off. Hip-hop ain't dead, represent for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, so me sitting on the hip. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder master music show. Free the homie gangs, bro. I see these rappers on these streets. I got my chop about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it
like
a rabbit, bitch, we coming hella strong. I see you feeding for the show.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Prez, Murder Master Music Show, another edition. We got a special show tonight. Bring on the homie Sin. Sin made it happen. I know you got in touch with, tell everybody who you got in touch with tonight so we can let them know.
Yes, sir. What's up, Scott? Hey, Izzy Faison is a legend in the streets and in the rap game, in the first rap game, the East Coast.
You know what I'm saying? The man has been through a lot. You know what I'm saying? He survived a lot, and he's here tonight to tell a story.
Yeah.
We're going to chop it up with him right now. I'm going to bring him on, man. Mr. AZ Faison. How you doing, brother?
I'm at peace, family. Welcome everybody in, and respect and love, man. Real recognized, real, like you said a moment ago. It's a pleasure to be invited to your program, brother.
Man, thank you so much, man. And From the beginning of the show, we've done about 500 of these. And from the beginning, one of our most frequent guests is the homie Freeway Ricky. He's been on the show several times. And also, he's encouraged, you know what I'm saying, while he was on the show, he's encouraged people not to fall victim to the stuff that he fell victim to and not to fall trapped to what's going on in the streets. And you've been through a lot, AZ, man. First and foremost, before we get into everything, how have you been able to maintain all the stuff that you've been through and still be here doing things today, you know what I'm saying, without, you know, an average man might be broken down already, man, but you keep going. How did you survive all this?
Well, keeping it 1,000, man, for some reason I think it's my duty. That's the only reason why God spared my life, because I keep God first, man. The central son is God, and I keep him, you know, at the top of my heart and mind, brother. And I know it's him that's controlling my destination, brother.
You know?
Without God, man, you know, there's no life, brother. And so I recognize that, and once I, you know, bow down to that and respected that, and I think that's what keep me, you know, conscious, because after all what I've been through, brother, there's no way I would have been sane enough to be even on this show in the right state of mind to be dealing with this topic.
Yeah, because, the life that you led, the fast in the fast lane, so to speak, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people, man, they don't make it out of that life. You almost did it. Back in 87, roughly 30 years, a little over 30 years ago, you were shot and left for dead along with other people. You know what I'm saying? At that point in time, you know, did you think you were going to make it out of that situation alive? And what, at that point in time, what got you through that situation?
What I tell people about that day, August 20th, 1987, that was the day that I met God and the devil at the same time. Yeah. The reason why I say that, because, you know, there's a saying out there that they say, get rich or die trying. Well, I was rich, and I died trying. You understand? And I came back to life and would never lead nobody in that direction. To take that way of life, to sell drugs, and do all those things, because in the game, being honest, I played very fair. I looked out for everybody. I was making a lot of money. I made sure my community was eating, the old people was fed, their bills were paid. You know, I looked out for the hood, threw money up in the street, threw block parties, bus rides, gave away mopeds, dirt bikes, stands, you know, things that you do to feed the community. I did all these things. I did everything that, you know, living in the game that you're supposed to do. Cars, women, you know, made sure everybody was eating in my hood. So everybody loved and respected me for who I was. But at the end of the day, there's always going to be a creep in the midst that's going to say, damn, if I rob this nigga, will I be the next one they looking up to like that? You understand? But yeah. some people, you know, you got givers and you got takers. Because I would have never, you know, plot on no one like that to take their life and kill whoever's in the apartment just to get, you know, a bag. That's what they call it today. But at the end of the day, your own sister's boyfriend sets you up for a situation like that. You know, and let me say this. You know, the game, doing good in the game sometimes could be doing wrong, because you think you just, you know, loved by all, but there's more haters and jealousy that will work against you, brother, than, you know what I mean? The sucker shit, yeah.
So I mean, here you are at the time. I mean, just take everybody back. You know, you're making a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, you a lot of risks out there, of course. And you said your sister's boyfriend did this horrible thing. How many people survived, and how many people were killed during this incident?
In that situation, three people died. Joanne Blewett, which I call my aunt, her friend, Myra Enoch, and my man Charlie T died. Michael Lamar lived, and this young girl, Lynette Bell, she lived and I lived. So it was an attempt murder, all six of us, but three people lived, and three people died. You know, and I felt guilty about that because they came to rob me. But you know how they can, you cannot leave no witnesses. And the funny thing about it, man, they really didn't get nothing out of that situation but what I had in my pocket, because they didn't open up the safe. They couldn't get the safe open and they left the safe. So all they had was the money that I had in my pocket, which was $5,000. I think I had a chain on my neck that was maybe worth about $15,000 or something like that. You know, that's all they got. But you try to kill six people for that. So the question becomes why. You know what I mean?
That's horrible. And for you to survive that, for three people to survive that, you know, is an amazing thing in itself. And rest in peace to the three that did not survive. During that incident, how many times were you hit? And were you not hit in the head as well?
I was shot in the head twice at point-blank range, once in the neck, once in the shoulder, and I think the other was the, well, other was, one was in the hand and the other was one in the leg. I broke my leg. The gunshot broke my leg in three different spots. I can't smell no more from that day, but my vision is not blurry, because that day, that's the night that I met God, and he made me open up my third eye and really understand who he is and where he is. and what he is. You understand? No religions. I'm talking about the real, true living God. No religions. Religion is just a place to, you know, learn about. And I don't know, but I don't get down with that. I know
yeah,
God.
We had Lord Infamous
like
on the show of 3-6 Mafia, and before he died, rest in peace to him. But you know, he died once prior, and he was talking about his experience of going to hell and then coming back up and then going down. And did you have like a out of body experience during that time?
Definitely, but you know what? They shot the first gun. The guy put the gun to my forehead, and I watched them pull the trigger. I heard the noise, but I didn't feel it because my spirit left my body, and I went up into this big, beautiful, bright light. And I was afraid at first, but the light just made me feel totally alive again, like, you know, but where I was heading, you know, I was going somewhere, and I was afraid, and I know I said, God, please, I don't want to die. And that's when I started sending back down to the body. And when I came back into my body, I was shot up on the bathroom floor, and somehow, some way, I got up from the floor and went in the bedroom and seen all the bodies laid down, and I just jumped in the bed and put the covers over on me because I felt guilty, like it was all my fault that these people had got shot and nobody was responding. I was trying to wake them up, like if they had experienced what I said, you can come back now, come on, you can get up, come on, all in blood. It's just nasty. I just laid in the bed and put the covers on me because I wanted to wake up dead. But when I woke up, I was in the hospital with my mother over me saying, you know, asking me who shot me.
It's like your spirit left your body and it changed your mind forever and fine.
Say that again?
Yeah, your spirit left your body and it changed your mind forever. That's fine.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Spirit, came back in your body, and here you are, 30 plus years later. That's amazing in itself. You know what I'm saying? No, I mean, you could have been taken out the game permanently, and I think you're put here to do good and to tell these young cats this is not the life you should be choosing.
My contract is not with no music company, no movie company. My contract is with God these days, and I'm trying my best to help people see, you know, right from wrong, because these young kids today, they don't even know right from wrong right now. They're living in wrong and they think it is right. And for some reason, the powers that be is putting the money into wrong because they don't want them to do right, because prison and the cemetery and liquor is big business. So they gotta, keep that shit rocking, dude. Do death and destruction, brother.
And plus, nowadays it's like a death and drug culture, you know, like all the stuff that the big mainstream media outlets are pushing is lacking substance, consciousness, and it's poisoning the youth on a major level.
They're trying their best to me to destroy and dumb down the mind, because it is time for the wake up. It is time for the spell to wear off. It is time for the resurrection. It's time for everybody to become one with God again. And that's what global warming represents, because the sun is God. Not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N represents the return of Jesus, meaning just us all becoming like-minded people and recognizing, okay, God's law, not Larry's law. And that's the only way that we will become one again in divine order. That breaks down all walls of religion, all walls of racism. It's just divine order the way it's supposed to be. You feel me?
Oh, yeah. When you have people in high places that could use their power for good things, and don't, it's frustrating. Like we said, when we had the homie Freeway Ricky on the show, he was talking about how rappers like Jay-Z and Rick Ross, the guy that took his name, are fabricating in their raps to make it look like they were the AZs and the Ricky Rosses. And how does that, I know Rick didn't like it, how did that make you feel, you know what I'm saying, when you got people basically using your lifestyle, what you went through, and putting it into their music, making it look like they did it and they went through it.
See, let me put it like this. When we were doing it in the 80s, selling drugs and all that, and we tried to transform over into rap, you know, we definitely was trying to feed the hood, feed up.
Yeah.
You understand? And it's a good thing, because if we could stop selling drugs and just sell freedom of speech, words on rap, you know what I mean? Tell these stories on rap. That's a great thing, because now that's a lane for us not to sell drugs no more. We just, you know, buying, selling words and beats and shit, and there's $1 million in that. It's a good thing, but once they saw us trying to escape from that, they hired these type of dudes. They hired these type of dudes to emulate us and keep us blocked out so that we cannot succeed in that freedom of speech on beat, because that's the exodus from the bullshit. You feel me? So they hired these type of dudes to me to block us. We put up that wall to say, okay, this is the way we're going. We ain't going that way no more. You understand? So, you know, what it's doing is creating a false reality, and people are beginning to see it. But, you know, who are they to tell you what's hot or not? That's what you got to say to yourself and stop participating and listen to that bullshit. If it ain't 100%, if it ain't for you, it ain't feeding your hood, it ain't taking care of you, why are you putting your money in your own grave? You like you building your own grave by buying that bullshit. You're supporting something that's totally against you. That's what I see. You feel me?
Yeah. Most definitely. Most definitely, man. You know, now I'm going to turn over the interview to the homie Sin. I know he's got some dope hip-hop questions to ask you. You there, Sin?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's good?
Yeah, I got some question about your group, Mob Style. I think it was very ahead of its time, your group, and when you release the good, the bad, and the ugly. I think especially about the pipe song, and also about your song Street Wise on your solo album, 91. It was like a pre-Mob Deep. In fact, we can listen the influence directly by your music, by your style, and New York City sound in 1990, 1991 Don't sound that like your music. I think you pioneered a style who influenced a lot of people, but a lot of don't recognize it really for me, and they didn't really pay homage to your music style. You was like the first New York City gangster rap, with a conscience. I think about what's going on in Black, and can you tell us about Mob Style and your pioneering a style?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. For some reason, I can't hardly hear you, but I think you were saying of how, you know, we started gangster rap on our coast first in the music.
Yes, sir.
Did you say something about the pipe and what's going on,
yeah.
Black?
Yeah. The pipe. And Streetwise also was like frame up dip song, and it was in 1991. It's crazy.
Song. Yes, sir. Yeah, basically, man, Mob Style is like, after I had got shot up in 87, I felt like, you know, the police was on me because they recognized who I was now. And I wanted to do something to create a lane that I saw everybody following our lead in the drug game. So maybe I'll create a rap group and give them a message in this song. But when we first came out with that album, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly, that was supposed to be the name of the group, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly, and the album was supposed to be called Mob Style. But everybody that bought the album, they was calling us Mob Style, and they labeled the album The Good, The Bad, The Ugly. So we said, fuck it, we're going to roll with the name Mob Style, and that's how it became Mob Style. The people gave us that name. So, with that said, when I created that group, it was for me to, like I said, take freedom of speech and turn our story into this. and everybody followed us, and everybody took our true friends, you know, all the hustlers and everybody saw it and was like, yeah, this because it sounds good, and they couldn't believe that, you know, we were doing this shit. Yeah? But like I tell people all the time, I don't consider our music rap because it was real. And I can't, I'm not trying to disrespect rappers, but it's a different ear that you give our music than you give rap music, because this was what was really happening in the hood in Harlem at that time. You feel me? So when I made songs like What's Going On Black, that song was real because I made that after it happened to my man Rich Porter. That came from the heart. The pipe song, that came from the heart through a crackhead's point of view. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm trying my best to drop messages in these songs to school people to, like, what's really going on and to be aware. You feel me? And Marv Style, I always say to people, a lot of these rappers, don't disrespect to them because, you know, I'd rather for them to eat in that direction. But I say to myself, our true prince created a lot of these rappers' blueprints. You understand?
I can't really hear you.
So if the brother can translate what you're saying, because I don't know if your mic is distorted or something is wrong. I can't really hear what you're saying, bro.
Yeah,
and I want to ask you.
You're breaking up, Shin. If you want, shoot me your question, man. That way I can translate
for you, brother.
But yeah, man, you made a good point. You know, the stuff that you were talking about, just like with Eazy-E. You know, everybody knows that before he got into the, you know, NWA, you know, he was doing his, he was hustling on the streets or whatnot. It comes off more authentic from someone who actually did that, who actually been in that lifestyle. And plus, I think the message is more powerful because you're actually able to give the listener a real perspective of what actually happened versus just somebody telling a story pretty much of your life anyway. You know,
Exactly. See, let me give a shout out and some love to Eazy-E, because we had got into a situation where they were dissing us and we were dissing them, but it never led to nothing because I kind of like peeped what was going on. It was like someone in our camp that I think was trying to create a beef so that the situation could get nasty. But I said, now we're going to fall back from that. But I would like to apologize to Eazy-E and all his fans and his family for the diss track that I did towards them. You feel me? I would never want to put that song back out. It's maybe on the internet, but I wish I could remove it out of my life because I feel like that was, I respect who Eazy-E is now, and I see who he was just as who I am from the game point of view. You understand? So let me
he did
that.
A lot for the for kids that were dying of terminal illnesses and things that, like, people don't know behind the scenes, he was a totally different person, you know what I'm saying, than what he portrayed. But you and him kind of, you know, went back and forth to each other at NWA. How did that whole thing start, you know what I'm saying? And did you ever get a chance, I know you just apologized right now, but did you ever get a chance to squash things with him before he passed?
I never even spoke to the man or anybody of that company, being honest. But it was just, you know, over the airwaves, to me, this is how it started. We were in the studio, Cone did a song, and he said something on the track, I believe, called Stop. He said something like, Stop and suck us some coffee in one of his lines. And I don't know, I guess they might have heard it, and then they came back on a whole diss album down there, Niggas for Life, where Eazy-E just went off on us and just went nuts. And, you know, like, wow, you know, like, the hood was like, fuck them. So we had to come back. We did a song. I did a song. I think it's called I Don't Really Want to Diss Nobody. And we went in on them and blah, 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 blah. And then after that, I just, you know, bearing witness to what was really going on, because this older cat that was trying to promote our music, which turned out to be a government informant,
kept saying, oh, yo, you got to get back at them niggas, man. He kept like, oh, you got to, I'm telling you, man. And I peeped at him. I'm like, oh, who the fuck is this nigga in my thought process? And then when I realized who he was and I started questioning my thoughts and questioning him, he kind of like, you know, ran away. You understand?
He was wanting to create that type of tension. It sounds like an agent just trying to start shit.
Yeah, that's how I talked about it. So I called about it and I told them, like, you know, we ain't doing that, bro. We ain't doing that. We just going to let that die, you know, how it dies. And here I am today, you know, saying this. And I said it before somewhere else, maybe in an interview, that that's the reason why that went down like that. You know, it was things that happened at the Apollo, when they, at the Ice Cube game to the Apollo, whatever. It was nasty. And it could have gotten off the earth. But I told Cass, hit brakes, because this is a setup. And I think this thing, it was real. It was real.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on a mob style Game of Death, in 92, you go deep and dark with it. And I think about the tracks, Never Tell a Lie and Alive and Let Die. Can you tell us about these ones?
Can you repeat that? Never Tell a Lie? What do you say, my brother?
The game of death, he wants to talk about the song The Rise and Transformation of a Harlem Hustler. Oh, that's your book he's talking about.
That was the book. Yeah, the book was written. Let me tell you how the book came about. The book is the restaurant where we all eat at in the morning. They got the best breakfast in the world. Shout out to Texas Star, my man Steve over there. I was over there eating one morning, and this guy walked in there, and he was like, yo, you AZ? I was like, yeah. He said he's a professor at this college, Bronx Community College, and he's a teacher there. And he said after the movie Paid in Full had came out, all his students, that's all they were talking about every day. And he asked him, yo, you got to see that movie Paid in Full. I'm telling you, man. Telling you, Pete. So he said he watched it. And he said he saw something in my character that I had in me that he needed to really sit down and talk to me about, because these kids is mesmerized by your film, and I think that we could use this to educate them just as well about what life is really about in the game. So I want to sit down with you. And he said he had a situation with a book company, Simon & Schuster, to Mary Marie Brown, was his agent with the book company, and I think we could get a book deal. I said, I had no problem, man. So we sat down. He recorded me after asking me a few questions. He came back with it written down. I tweaked it a little bit. No, that's not me. I didn't say that. I put this like this. And then he took it to the company, and then they gave us an advance check to make it happen. And we did it. We put the book out there called Game Over, man. But, the fellas, true story about it. The book is a very, 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 very good and real book, but the book company didn't promote it that well, because for some reason I think they don't want to promote it that well, because it will destroy a lot of these false views if everybody read it and recognize, oh, this is real, and this is they doing it's Sesame Street. This is the real shit, and this is the bullshit. You feel me? So, you know, it's always something in the midst of something to try to stop something from being what it's supposed to be. You get it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And about your song, Never Tell a Lie, can you tell us about this one, and Live and Let Die, on a Game of Death?
The Game of Death album. The Game of Death album was serious, man. I kind of really, really went in on that album because I felt like it was coming to, you know, those type of things. Like, damn, the game that turned into the Game of Death. Everybody was dying. People were getting murdered left and right. The police was killing people. People shooting at police, killing in the game. It just became really, really, really nasty. So I started right from that point of view. If you listen to the songs, you can see them kicking some real shit about that. And Live and Let Die was a situation like, man, we all go to jail. This is what it's going to be. And if you listen to the lyrics, I'm talking from if we being locked up, we in prison. You understand? So, you know what I mean? That album
was real, man. And people respect that album to this day. You feel me? Kind of like respect all the songs that I've done. And being honest, I was just speaking to these producers right now, and they looking to do a mob-style TV series on my life. So we in the process of making that happen. And they want to deal with the music and how it begun. And like you just asked the question, what situation put you into writing in these songs? You feel me? Like, each song that I wrote came from a situation. Man. Even like what's going on, Black, with Crack the Mac, if you listen to that song. Each song have a whole, it got its own storyline to it, if you really think about it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Matter of fact, let's go into one right now. Let's go into a break. Then I want to come back, chop it up with you for a little bit more. But this one here is called God Bless Our Souls. Why don't you tell us about this one, AZ?
Yeah.
God Bless Our Souls. What album is that on? That's on the
Blood on My Money
album?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God Bless Our Souls album. That album right there, that was my little brother, man. Soul rest in peace. My little brother just passed away earlier this year, man. It really hurts, man, because I think he left before me. He cheated. But that album, he asked me, this album came out in 2001. I had finished rapping and doing music in 93. But he was like, yo, hey, man, come on, man. You know, I got some young dudes that spit heat, man. Yo, but we need you to bring us into the game and shit. And I wasn't really into the rap game like that because I kept my shit, you know, independent. I was doing it myself, putting it out there. But if y'all want to do it, let's do it. And I'll do it for y'all. And it got picked up by a label called Artists Only. And the song, what's the song? God Bless Our Souls. That's my brother and them crew. We went in the studio. I was coaching them, you know, keep it 100%, man. Just get into your mind and do what you do, man, from the street point of view. And just tell your truth on it, brother. And that's how that song came about. But that album, Blood on My Money album, was my little brothers and them. And they were going to be Mob Style's Next Generation. But, you know, that didn't last too long because they was in the streets doing what they do. And a lot of cats got locked up and was, you know, doing stupid shit. So that's the only album they done. But all the production, that was my little brother beats, and the album was really, really hot. If it got the right promotion, it maybe could have did something.
Definitely. We'll be right back with AZ Phase on. Don't go nowhere.
All the time. She be out front of the building. You don't understand, B. You don't know, you know what I'm saying? The pain and suffering that I've been through.
You ain't doing nothing.
All the things that these eyes have seen. All the trials and tribulations that I've been through. They don't know the fake from the real. I'm here to tell you, dog. Shit is real. Shit is real.
Addicted to crack. When you gave me life, 10 years later, ma, you still smoking a pipe, still running the street, 5 hungry mouths to feed, no food in the house to eat, dirty Payless sneakers and shoes on our feet, 1 pissy mattress and no sheets, where we all used to sleep. Every single day of the week, we was getting our ass beat, battered and bruised, misused and confused. You supposed to be my mommy, damn, why my mommy never showed me no love? Instead, you showed me how to use drugs, and love is pain, and pain is love. Now I'm all grown up, running with thugs on the corner, selling them same damn drugs. Now it's black ski masks and black gloves and no love. I'm busting slugs over them same damn drugs.
Lord, forgive me for my sins. Life is a war that will not end. Lord, will I die now if not when? Without love, we will not win. God bless our souls.
Cold world touched my heart and laced it, bitter with hatred. Now everything I spit is ill-natured. The only time I'm loving my girl is when she's naked. Sometimes I feel like I just can't take it. I'm stressed out, Lord help me, I just can't make it. I used to be a born-again Christian. Now I'm seeing satanic visions, upside down crucifixion. Visualizing my own death and premonitions. Try talking to God, but he just won't listen. Spent 5 years in hell, caught up in the system. Fuck parole, dog. I'm never going back to prison. Whole course of the street, busting shots and not missing. Quick to leave one of your cats twisted on the floor, twisted. Part of your fucking head missing. You see? Cause I be high off more than
greed and lust. Drunk off the power of the gas when I squeeze and bust. Sell you anything from coke to dope, weed to dust. And I fiend for the drama like I need to rush.
Need to rush.
Need to rush.
Lord, forgive me for my sins. Life is a war that will not end. Lord, will I die now? If not, when? Without love, we will not win. God bless our soul.
16 years old when I caught my first brick. 17 years old when I caught my first whip. 24 years old when I took my first hit of the cane. Shit damn near froze my brain. Then I fucked up and switched to crack cocaine. Had me loped out, smoked out. Church lady in the lobby of the building getting choked out. I grew up on the wrong side of the track. Everywhere I go, it's like the devil riding my back. Got me on the street corner, holding up gas, pitching, flipping the packs. At the stove, bent over, cooking up crack. If they catch me, I'ma be in prison for life. The way I live my life, I might not live tonight. If I die, Lord, please send my soul to Christ and resurrect me from the dead and show me the light.
Show me the light.
Show me the light.
Lord, forgive me for my sins. Life is a war that will not end. Lord, will I die now? If not, when? Without love, we will not win. God bless our souls. God bless our souls. God bless our souls. God bless our souls.
Yeah, man, that's going hard right there. Let's bring back AZ, chop it up with him for a few more. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. We need more music like that today. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
humble stuff and bring that back.
That's 100% right there, man. You know, that's 100%. That's my man Kenny Blocko with the lyrics and my man O Double on the hook. And that was my brother Wayne Borg's tracks right there. That was a sick album, man. Them dudes with beats, and they still got it, man. Them dudes still got it, and they still out here, man. You know what I mean? But it's just the lane that they got niggas going. They got niggas going down. They that's too hard for their eardrum. But it was what it was at that moment in time, and you know. But a person has got to search for treasure, man. You know, they're not going to give you the treasure. You got to search for treasure. And that stuff is like treasure right there, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's priceless stuff, man. I just signed a deal with this European company. I think it's called, what is it called? Oh, Smoke on Records, man. They only put out wax because they say it out in Europe. You know, a lot of cats looking for real shit, but they respect in the wax game more than the CD game, and because they feel like the only way a person's shit can be stolen is if it's official and you supporting the artist if you buy the wax. You feel me? And I kind of respect that movement, so I signed a little situation with them, and they're gonna release all the old music on wax, man. Smoke on Records. Shout out to my man. Shout out to my man Joey out there.
Yes.
Stuff, what it is.
Vinyl, Thomas, man. That's what I'm. Yeah, people are actually pressing up cassettes now. Vinyl. I mean, they're going back to those old formats. I myself, I'm a CD head. You know what I'm saying? I'm never going to quit collecting CDs. But I might start popping them vinyls, man. That's for sure. You know?
Yeah, Streetwise and Good, Bad, and Ugly was only on tape.
Indeed. We had some vinyl, Good, Bad, Ugly, too, but not much.
Okay. Can you tell us about the movie Paid in Full, based on your story, and why is there no music of Mob Style on it? Can you tell us about this movie, too?
No music of Mob Style on Paid in Full.
Let me keep you 1,000, man. I wrote that movie, myself. And a lot of dudes be out there running around acting like they did it. Okay, your company, backed by another company, put up the money to do the movie. But the bottom line, it was my idea and my plan. And my idea, the title of the movie was called Trap. And that was the original screenplay, Trap. Before Trap Music, before Trap or Die, all this stuff came out. That was the title to my movie, Trap, saying that we were set up and this is a trap, shorty, don't go this way, but I kept it real. And the way I wrote it, it was a 3-hour epic film, something like The Godfather or Scarface. But they chopped it down. They chopped it down and made it what they made it to be. Now, it's a good movie. It's a hood classic. Everybody loves it. And I'm not trying to, you know, disturb the fans of the Tatum for a movie, because I love the movie. It's a good movie. And I love them for doing the movie about our life out of respect for all players involved. But I really feel that it was a hidden agenda within the powers that be to try to make it what they want it to be for themselves and not for us. You feel me? And that's what I deeply believe, because I have wrote, you know, sequels behind it. And if you really want to do what you want to do, you would snatch up the sequel. But by you not snatching up the sequel, the question becomes, who are you? And, you know, what is your benefits of Paid in Full to promote your artists? That's the reason why Mob Style Music wasn't on there, because the whole album should have been, the whole soundtrack should have been Mob Style Music, keeping it 100, you know what I mean? But, you know, hey, you feel me? It is what it is, but Mob Style creates a line to me, a line of what's real and what's fake. You understand? And that's why people love Mob Style, because once you listen to it and you watch the movie and you read the book or you check out the documentary, you can see, you know, this from that. And I'm not trying to brag and say, yo, this is the way to go. I'm glad you're over there doing that, but respect this and respect the people for coming out, speaking their minds so that you don't participate in that lifestyle, which is very dangerous, man. Like, there's an interview that I saw with Charlamagne the God and what's his name? The brother out of Philly.
Yeah, Vlad?
No, Charlamagne and the brother out of Philly. Who's his name? The rapper.
Beanie Sigel?
Yeah, Beanie Sigel. I've seen the interview. That was a very good interview from Beanie's point of view, because he was basically trying to tell him, like, it's two different worlds, man. Drake ain't from this world. You're not from this world, Charlamagne. This shit is dangerous. This shit is real. Motherfuckers die over this shit, man. So there's a separation when you talk about that, bro. It's just like everybody's trying to say Jordan is better than LeBron. It's two different times, two different worlds, man. LeBron James is good at his time. But, you know, Michael Jordan was great when the buildings was up. The towers I'm talking about. After the towers got knocked down, it brought forth LeBron James, man. It's a new world order. It's a different time, brother. You feel me? So you can't compare these two dudes, man. There's different fans in the audience. There's a different crowd. There's a different clap. There's a different music. There's a different air. You can't compare these people, man. Jordan was the best at his time. LeBron is good at his time. But if you keep saying LeBron, LeBron, you're not even looking at the rest of these boys. The boys could play, man. Steph Curry could play.
There's so much talent. I always tell people that era, too, not to get off into basketball too much, but that era, it was a lot more physical. Like, these guys are getting hit with feathers and falling on the floor, flopping.
Yes, sir.
LeBron would have been in fist fight. I mean, he would have had to go up against the Detroit Bad Boys. You know what I'm saying? He would have had to go up against Barkley. I mean, it would have been rough for him, man. I don't know.
Come on, man. It's obvious. It's obvious what's going on, man. The shit is being, you know. So we're never going to go there, but it is what it is. But as long as you can see it, don't blur your vision, you'll be able to point it out to people. Like, you know, you don't get caught up in all that circus shit, man. You feel me?
No,
you know what it is. And you're
I feel you on that, man. Because it just feeds the bullshit. You know,
yeah, like for example, I tell people the sneakers that we wore back then, the most we ever paid, being honest, for a pair of Jordans maybe was $120. That's the most. This generation is paying damn near $1,000, $2,000 or $3,000 for sneakers, man, and stuff like that. So I'm looking at it as, is rich versus the poor, and they raise the prices so that the poor can't you know, have certain things so they can, they can always make them look better than you. But spiritually and soulfully, you got more soul than them. It's like the movie Titanic. If you look at the movie Titanic, homegirl was in love with the dude that didn't have nothing. But this dude with this big diamond, he keep trying to impress her, but he ain't got no soul. You corny, you whack. He just, you're fake, man. I love this dude. I want to go downstairs and hang with the people in the basement who's running, who's got the motor of the ship running, because they have more fun down there. They, you know, it's more real over here. It's more beautiful over here. That shit is like puppets and mannequins. I don't want to be around that bullshit. It's fake, man.
Yeah. That's true.
Mm.
I feel you. I feel you, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, come on, man. But we have to come to realize, we got to come to realize that and stop killing each other in this, because they the ones giving you the guns and they got their people in the field setting you up in these, in, you know, infiltrating these gangs and sending them into bullshit and this and this and that. No, and this is their new way of trying to make somebody look better. You got to be, you got to pick all that shit, man. For real, man. Because it's a wicked, wicked world we in right now, man.
Oh,
wicked,
man. These kids, you know, that's what hurts the most, is knowing what the kids have to inherit in the next generation to come. It's like, man, what the hell are they going to have? You know, it's crazy.
On those years, you became more spiritual and more on a Kemetism on Egypt and ever UFO case and on a game over you put the Minister Louis Farrakhan talk about drug traffic. Can you tell us about your evolution in life?
I can't hear you, man, for some reason, but I cannot hear you at all.
I say you became over the years more spiritual and more on spiritual, like Egypt and case, and you talk about that on Minister Louis Farrakhan about the drug traffic. Can you tell us about this?
Minister Farrakhan about the drug traffic? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
About Minister, say that again. Repeat that, my brother. You tell me, not him. You say what he said again?
I think he was talking about something about, were you talking with Minister Farrakhan about the drug traffic and what was going on at that time? Like some type of a summit against drugs?
Did I talk to the Minister Farrakhan, you said?
Yeah, I believe so.
No, I never spoke to the Minister Farrakhan, but in some of the documentaries we've done, we put clips of Minister Farrakhan talking to the youth about the drug game, so that they could, you know, take, you know, what they need to take and, you know, hear it out, you know, respect the minister and his movement, the Nation of Islam, to the fullest, you know, because a lot of things he said helped me, you know, be aware of certain things that I wasn't aware of. So I respect brothers like Minister Farrakhan, T.D. Jakes, you know, Ray Higgins. There's a lot of good people out there speaking the truth, man. Dr. Stephen Gere, Bill Wilcox, Dolores Cannon, you know, Mary Roswell, because it's different levels to knowledge, man. And, you know, I'm into ETs and all that, brother. I'm into UFOs and all that right now where I'm at, bro, because I know for sure, but from experience, that this stuff is real, and I believe this is the next level of where we're going and where we're at, man, because, you know, crop circles itself can't be explained, so we know it's something out there trying to bring us back to life, because we're living in death, brother. You understand?
Well, yeah, a lot of people, man, it's too deep for a lot of people to grasp, you know what I'm saying, because they just believe solely what they're told in school books and what they're told in the mainstream. But, like, you're talking about UFOs. I believe in that shit, too, because we're one rock out of billions of rocks floating around in an infinite amount of space. This can't be the only spot with life on it.
You know what I'm saying? When did you get interested in life on other planets, man? When did that spark your interest, Eddie?
Keeping it 100, man. When I was like 9 years old, I had a dog. I had a Doberman Pinscher, and I begged my mother to buy it because I had seen this movie. I don't know if y'all remember this movie called The Doberman Gang, how this dude had trained his dogs to rob a bank with a whistle. And I begged my mom to buy me a dog because I wanted to train my dog to do the same thing at the age of 9. But one day I was walking my dog. I walked up the block. It was nighttime. It was maybe like 10 o'clock at night. And then I looked in the sky because my dog was barking in the sky. And then when I looked, I saw this like a spaceship. It wasn't a ship, but it was a light. It was lights in the shape of a ship. And it was like on an angle. And it was like, it stopped right at me and my dog was barking. But when I looked, I was like, oh, shit. And when I went to turn around, you know, you go over to turn around and tell someone to look. And when I looked back up there, it was gone. You feel me? Like it vanished right into darkness. You know, so that made me say, yo, this is real. This is real. And right now that I'm speaking on it, you know how you get those little chill bumps coming through your body? To let you know that, yo, you want something bad for real. I know this is a fact. You feel me? And there's a lot of things that took place with me in my life, bro, that remind me to remember these things. Like, remember this? Remember that? You know? And I really believe that these entities are running the world. They're running the world because I believe that someone got us going against God's way. And God's way is sun, moon, and stars. And we are all living in this big lie created by one lie that connects all other lies to be a part of the great deception. And that one lie is this: a new day begins at midnight.
Yeah.
That's a lie, because it's obvious in divine law that a new day begins when sunrise. So if I could make your mind think that a new day begins at midnight, because this clock I made, I got your whole life going in the opposite of direction of what God intended it to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's like...
Yeah, it's like Anunnaki and Egypt gods.
I can't hear you, man. I can't hear you, and I hope to...
What I was going to say is, it's like... You know, with the Sumerians, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They were talking about the Anunnakis. The Anunnakis were created supposedly as a slave race to mine and to get things that regular caveman at the time couldn't do. So they couldn't come down here and tell cavemen who could barely cook, you know, we need you to go mine for gold and minerals and things like that. So they had to create another race. I believe that to be true. I mean, you know, some people probably say I'm crazy for even saying that, but...
It's obvious now because it's clear as day. If you can see that the laws that we're under and the words that we use, it all makes sense to a polarizing and holding a people in a box as you believe, because as you think, you become. As a man thinks in his heart, so he's going to be. So if we all are under this law called justice, and if you break down the word justice, you spell justice. So it means to freeze you in a place and time, because to believe in to be frozen, justice, and if you don't abide by the justice, they send the police after you sell police, and if the police, if you run it from the police, they say freeze. All this is a part of the cell to keep you frozen in time. You understand? So it's just amazing. It's too deep, but if you listen to me and hear me out, you begin to see what I'm saying. You feel me? And you have to think out this box in order to be free to see this. But unfortunately, I got shot in the head twice, and I left up out of this box spiritually. So when I came back into this box, I understand
the difference of spirit and flesh. So flesh needs to be contained and refrigerated because it's meat, but the spirit should not be contained in the refrigerator because it needs the law of life, the law of energy, the law of the sun, and that's who we are. We are spiritual beings having this stressful experience, which is a prison to the body itself, not of the spiritual realm. So I think the body is a cage. Once you walk back into spirit, you become aware, you become one in your third eye, and you walk this thing in the Godhead and understanding to try to make others return back to the light because you walk in the dark. And that's how I see it, brother.
Well, I'll tell you what, AZ, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight and chopping it up on a whole variety of different things. You know what I'm saying, including UFOs and life and other planets. I had a great time, man. Thank you so much for taking time out to do this. But before we get out of here, I want to give you the floor. You know what I'm saying? Anything you got coming out or anything you want to say, man, it's all yours, brother.
So we're working, man. We're in contact with a few people, brother. I'm working on one more album. I'm going to give it one more album, and it's called Gangsta White Walls. It's a deep album, and I really want to address the situation with this cat trying to make it look like I was working with the government, man. Never happened. Never did happen. My question becomes, why did you do that? Are you trying to be a part of the next track for the children's mind? Because I'm trying to help freedom. And then let me say this and end it. If that ever happened, if I ever did anybody told on anyone to put them away for selling drugs, I never knew this dude. Me and this dude never did no dirt. Me and this dude never switched up cars. I don't know this cat. And if I ever did anything like that, bro, fuck the paperwork. Go get the district attorney that and have them tell the people on Flex or on your radio show. Have them tell the people that, yes, this is what AZ did for us. He worked for us to put this one away, that one away. He would work. And if that did not happen, you feel me? You're a sucker. You're going to always be a sucker. That whole Hot 97, everybody that was up there with you is a sucker. Because if they flock in that direction and try to, you know, shit on somebody that never did nothing to you, brother, for no reason, brother. You understand? You're a sucker. And if I did do that, please, agents or whoever's listening, come expose me, man. Come expose me, please, man. I need this.
Who
to
is
be
accusing
done.
You? Who is
let,
accusing
listen,
you?
Listen,
that,
listen, let me finish. Let me finish.
Yeah.
And if I did this, I will stand in front of where you had your store at on 125th Street. Ask naked and give each one of my children a stone so they could stone me to death because I'm not worthy to be your father. I would never do that to nobody. If they gave me the offer to do that to somebody and I tell them I would, I would go tell the person, look, fam, they got me out here to try to lock you up, bro. They on you, fall back because they out to get you. That's how I would come at you, brother. I'm not a sucker. I don't live in that shit, bro. I respect the police. I respect them. They do what they do. I don't want to be part of that shit, man. I don't want to live in the funny papers, man. Now, all you got to do, you ask me who, I'm not saying his name out of my mouth because I don't give those type of people no energy. But if you're looking to find out, it's out there on Hot 97, and I got lawyers that's trying to sue them. But the lawyers don't even want to handle my case, so I know how deep this shit is, bro. Because the lawyers is a part of the sucker shit, too, at the end of the day, man. So I don't respect none of that shit. That's why I stay in my lane and my mind, my business, and I do me, man. Because I see what it is, brother. I see
man,
what it is.
People got to bring your, like you
the
said,
lie,
bring you up.
The lie could never kill the truth, but the truth can kill the lie. Remember that, brothers. And I'm glad y'all had me on the show. God bless y'all, man. And may God protect everybody. But know this, young men and young people that's listening, the sun is God, and it's your time now. Don't be like us. Be better. God bless you, man. Kill the racism and kill the nonsense
And there are people out there that keep saying, you know, that the gun is, you know, we got to stop the killing. Okay, fuck that. Stop the gun. Stop making the gun and stop the problem for real. God bless you. Peace.
Thank you, AZ. And I just want to say this before we get out of here. When you get ready to put out the album, please come back, man. Let's debut a couple tracks off it and chop it up again, brother. Oh, we lost him. All right, we're out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Hell of an interview.
Yeah.
Hell of an interview with, you know what I'm saying, AZ Faison, man. Let's give him one more track. This is Live and Let Die. And, man, we'll see you guys next time on the Murder Master Music Show. Peace.
Yes, sir.
How much time?